out to stop over here. We're in Perek Tezvav, but again, we went to the Onish of Asur, what was going to happen to Assyria on Perek Yud. Perek Yud Aleph went to Mashiach, and that continued into Perek Yud Beis. Right, they went into the song of Mashiach and Yud Beis. Yud Gimel was all about Babel. Yud Dalud is all about Nebuchadnezzar being destroyed, and what happens when he goes down to Gehenna. And then the end, we talked about the Plishtim, that the Plishtim were taken down by Chizkiah. That was a little thing at the end of Perek Tezvav. Now we go into Moab. Alright, this week's Parsha.
Why is other nations around the area?
We said Yeshayahu, that was part of Yeshayahu's job. Part of Yeshayahu's job was showing them that don't, even though the Jews are going down, doesn't mean that you guys are going to be successful and take over all of Eretz Yisrael. He's going to talk to every nation and tell them everything that they need to know about what's going to be.
Did he go there and
you're going to get ISIS and Ebola?
So that's a good question. It definitely seems that it was well known. Right? I don't know if it was specifically going to the nations or if the Lord was given over to the nation or he sent them a letter or whatever it was, but I don't know. That it doesn't say
like
anywhere.
The President of the United States, and you got a letter from some guy living in
of a nation that was well known with a base of Mikdash that was well known, and a Navi was still a hard thing to come by. There were not that many Naviim, and those that were famous. So Yeshayahu was well known.
Listen, just like people. Obama didn't listen about ISIS 3 years ago. People told him ISIS is a problem. Yeah,
we're getting all political. We're Republican now, huh?
No,
there we go.
I'm saying that, but you know, just because somebody tells you something, you have a lot of advisors. No, it's like you're not listening.
Right, let's go. Let's see it out. Masa Moab. Perek Yud Tetzvav Pasigalov says Masa Moab. Here's the Nebuah about Moab. The Lel Shudad or Moab. All right. So at night, that's when Or of Moab was going to be plundered completely. Nidma, Kidalel Shudad Kir Moab Nidma. Oh, Nidma, that's what it means by plunder. Kidalel Shudad Kir Moab Nidma. Okay, Kir will also be destroyed. Now, Kir and Or were two big cities. They were fortified cities that were used. One was during war, the other was a center of commerce. Both of those areas were going to be destroyed. Then, not only was their area of war going to be destroyed, but even their center of commerce, now there's a place where they got all their money and everything like that, that was going to be destroyed. Now, the reason why, number one, this attack is going to be sudden, which Moab is not going to expect it whatsoever. Number two, the reason why Moab is being called out here is because Moab was always happy when Bnei Yisrael went down. Anytime anything happened to Bnei Yisrael, Moab was sitting there on the side laughing and pointing and saying, see, look at Eretz Yisrael, keep on going through there. So they thought, right, that everything was, you know, God had abandoned the Jews and that they were fine and everything was going to be okay, to which Moab is saying, no, you guys are going to be destroyed all in one night. It's not even going to be over a couple days, over, you know, a siege or anything like that. One night, your cities, your ultimate cities, Ir, R and Kir are going to be destroyed. Allah by his V'divon.
It was even to the extent regarding Moab that we can't marry somebody from Moab.
No, that was already a law. It was already halacha. So no shaykhus to this. Meaning we had already decided that was there 250 years earlier.
But
I'm saying
600 years ago. Yeah.
No, my point is there's an extra like level of not hate, but like they had feelings towards Moab as opposed to any other nation.
Well, because of Moab and Ammon? Maybe. No, because why Moab feels that way about us, maybe. Because we said in the Torah that we can't marry them. So maybe Moab feels that way about us with Moab and our misfortune. Right? But I don't know if we feel that way about them.
Is there ever a case in Nineveh, other than Nineveh, where a prophet comes like, God's going to destroy you?
And everybody listened? Edom with Ovadia. That was the whole point of Ovadia going to Edom. So we definitely know about that also. But the other ones, I don't know. I don't know what ended up happening over here. Allah bayis v'divon habamos, right? Habamos lebechi. So they went to their houses. They ran to Divon. Divon is a place where they have their temples, where they have all their avodah zarah, right? Lebechi to cry. Al nevo v'al medva, to nevo, to medva, right? Moab ye'elil. They're going to wail. V'kol roshav korchal kol tzakan gerua. All their heads were bald. In other words, they started tearing out their hair. And all their beards were shaven off. They tore out their hair in anguish. They shaved off their beards in mourning. Once they saw that all their cities were being destroyed, the chutzos of Kogusaf, they wore don sackcloth in the streets. Al gagosel berchavosel kuli yehil yored at the babechi. Right, so on their roofs, right, and in their squares and their streets, they all wailed. Right, they started crying one after the other. No one knows what to do. Now the thing was that Moab apparently was known for wearing fancy clothing and doing like all these honor things or whatever it was. So I guess like now we're seeing. instead of wearing their fancy clothes, they're wearing sackcloth. Instead of using the rooftops to have a party, right now they're going to be mourning and wailing and stuff like that. All their intelligence, right, all the smart people that were very wise, they're going to sit down in the street. It's going to be on such a national scale this mourning, right, that there's not even going to be a consideration to a counterattack. They're not going to know what to do. Now, Cheshbon and El-Ole, those two cities, they're going to cry out, Yahatz, Nishma Kolam, all the way until Yahatz. Al-Kain, Chalutze Moab, Yoriu Nafsho, Yoriu Lo. And that's where the soldiers are going to cry out loud. The nation's soul, Nafsho, Yora Lo, they'll cry out for themselves. So the last two cities are going to be the last two ones. It's going to be Cheshbon and El-Ole. Those are the last two cities in Moab that are going to be surviving. In them, that's where the soldiers are going to be. And they're just going to be like, we have no hope. We have absolutely nothing left. We only have two cities then. So even though they had two cities, they had some hope. They should have had some hope, even though they gave up completely. Leaving the Moab Yizok, my heart cries out for Moab, says Yeshaya. Bricha ad Soar Eglas Shlishiha. Right? It was a Eglas Shlishiha, in other words, like a third year calf, like a beautiful, a really nice looking calf. Right? And all of our Bricha, all the people that are running, will go all the way to Soar. Soar, by the way, was that fifth city of Sodom, Amora, Admon, Amat, and what's called Soar? Simoyim and Soar. Soar was the last one, the one that was saved by Lot. That area. Kimale Haluchis, right, for the mountain of Luchis, Bilchi Alabo, the cries will be going up there. Kidera Choronayim, Zaka Shavu Yo'orer, right, on the Choronayim, the area right around there, the road right around there, they're going to cry out loud how much they've been broken. All those people right around there. Now, there wasn't, it's not like coincidental, like, oh, they ran to Tsoar. Tsoar was the last of the five cities of Sodom. All those cities of Sodom were affluent to the extreme, where they had all the riches and everything they could want in the world. Moab will run over to Tsoar, wishing that they could have the riches of Sodom, getting something back. They're now going to have absolutely nothing. He's also, Yeshaya, is crying out to them and saying, I have a suggestion. The only place where you'll survive this war is if you run to Tsoar, an area that's destroyed. In other words, knock yourselves down and realize what Hashem will do if you don't act, if you keep acting like the city of Sodom. Yes. Go to Tsoar and knock yourself down there. So he's giving them a suggestion how to get around this. Yeah.
He's also saying that you're going to be so destroyed that you'll wish you were in Sodom, meaning Sodom's destruction was not...
That's good to go there. I think they shouldn't have used Tsoar then. They should have used Sodom. I think that Tsoar line would be a little bit more, because Tsoar was the one that wasn't destroyed, as opposed to Sodom that was. That's what I would say.
Last week that Tsoar was a very small... Was it Tsoar was a small...
Elohim Mitzor. It's this week's Parsha.
Right.
Elohim Mitzor, and that's why it was called Tsoar.
So, meaning because it's so small, meaning it made it so small, not necessarily...
According to the Medrash, all the people in the city still died. That's why Lot ran to the mountains and said there's no one left. All the people in the city still died, but the city remained. The actual city remained. It didn't become the Sea of Salt. Soar remained, but the people all died there. I would assume, I mean, if you have that much sulfur and salt or whatever it was that destroyed the land, something that happened, you'd assume that the people couldn't survive, but the city wasn't covered by whatever it was. Anyway, Kimei Nimrin Mishamosiyu. All the waters of the Nimrin, apparently there's a river over there, right? All those waters are going to be desolate. All the grasses and the herbs will all be gone. There will be no vegetation whatsoever. Don't think that you can run over the Nimrin. Oh, nothing will get the Nimrin. The Nimrin River will be okay. Everything will be fine there. So I'm not going to go over to the area of Tsoar. I'm going to go to the Nimrin River and live affluently again with all the fruits and all the things over there. No, even that river will be destroyed, says Yeshaya. Okay, and Yisra also. Therefore, they added on extras. And they're going to carry their hidden treasures. They're going to carry over to Nachal HaRavim. HaRavim means the regular willows, right? Stuff like that. They're going to do anything they can to hide their riches because they know they're thirsting for water and they don't want to give the riches to anyone else. To hide them, and that's that. Ki Kifa HaZa'aka, some say that they'll go buy water over there. Ki Kifa HaZa'aka is Gvul Moav. Crying is going to spread all throughout the borders of Moab at Eglayim, Yelusa, all the way into the area called Eglayim. It would really help if we knew where any of these cities were. But either way, it will be Er Elim, Yelusa, all the way to the well of Elim will they cry. Ki me Dimon Maludam, the waters of Dimon will be filled with blood. Ki Ashis Ad Dimon, I will make them more than the waters of the Dimon of Sufos. Lefolitas Moab Aryeh, Lusheris Adama, for the surviving Moabim, and everybody else that's going to be there are going to be eaten by the lions, and that the lions lions will some coming about them. So obviously it could be referred to actual lions that were living in that area. There were lions that lived in the Mesopotamian area without a question. But it's more likely that it's referring to Nebuchadnezzar, who's called the lion, that anybody that slept of Moab will finally be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar when Nebuchadnezzar comes around years later. So even those that survive, right, unless you go to Tsoar, you're all going to die anyway at some point. That's going to happen to you. So that's Perek Tzav. Now Perek Tzav, we're still not done with this idea over here. So let's go. It says, Shohu Kar Moshe Eretz Miselemi Baral Harbat Zion. You should send over camels, help, right, the Moshe Eretz to the land's ruler, Miselemi Baral, from the rock of the desert all the way to Harbat Zion. In other words, here's a way that you could help yourself. If you ask the people of Eretz Israel to help you, if you send a message to the king of Israel at the time, and you ask him, help us, do something for us, daven for us, whatever it is, allow yourselves to be shamed, allow yourselves to be knocked down a little bit, humble yourselves. If you do that, Moab, then you may be able to survive a little bit longer, and then maybe your cities will be good. But you can, oh, no day, it came Mishulach. The bird, like the birds migrate, right, like a bunch of chicks that are cast out from the nest, Tiana Benos Moab, that's what the daughters of Moab will be like, Mabaros Arnon, right by the crossing of the Arnon. They're not going to know where to go, they're going to be sent out from nowhere, they're not going to have anything. And since you're not doing what I advise you to go to Bnei Yisrael, you're going to sit there saying, well, where should we go? Where do we have an idea? I'm telling you where to go. Go to Bnei Yisrael and ask them for help. Havi Eitzah. Give advice. Asu Pliwa. Do the right thing. Shisi Kalayo. Right? Make a shadow as night Silech. It's so Sarayan. In the middle of the day. Satri Nidohim Nodid Altigali. Hide the people that were banished into the bad people. Nodid Altigali. And do not reveal any refugees. Yagurubach Nidochai. Moab. Moab. Let my exiled ones be in your land. Have a Sesolimo. Hide them. They showed it because of the stacker. For the big people, the people who are going to try to take over, they've all left the land. So what Yeshaya is saying over here and telling Moab is that I'm giving you another suggestion. You could ask help from Bnei Yisrael. It'll help even more so if you help Bnei Yisrael when they get ransacked.
Why, yeah, why would you? It seems like a weird message, right? Like, go help Bnei Yisrael. But they're going to get destroyed too.
No. Go help Bnei Yisrael when they're in trouble, and then Bnei Yisrael will mamela help you when you're in trouble later on. Yep. They're going to get in trouble first, meaning the 10 tribes were going to be exiled first. Right. Then Moab is going to be taken down. If you help them first, and you allow them when they're trying to run away, if you don't send them away from your borders and say, no, we have enough of you guys, right? If you don't do that, then later on Bnei Yisrael will daven for you, and then everything will happen.
Judah will help them, or Yisrael will help them?
Well, Yisrael will be saved, so they'll be there, and I guess Yehuda as well. I don't know if it's you know, if that's made
but they
basically
different. Sure, exile them.
So there were people that must have gotten away, and those people ran to Moab. According to the Medrash, and the Miamulis brings it down, the Moab handed over the Jewish refugees straight over to the people over there. Let's give an example. You know what? I'll give you an example. Why don't we just give a simple idea of what happened to Poland? Yeah, right? Where Jews were escaping. I mean, if we need anything from World War II, right? The Jews were running into Poland. What did Poland do? Sent them right back to the Nazis in Auschwitz. And then what did the Germans do? Germans, I don't know if it was Poland or Lithuania, whatever it was, right? Yeah. Whatever it was. Right, 100%. Right, and they went back from one. It's such an idea, but if you would have done that, he was saying, that if you would have helped Bnei Yisrael, that Bnei Yisrael could have helped you, and they could have helped you survive what you needed to survive in the war, but you didn't do it, so therefore, that was bad. It does sound really like that. It's scary. Plus, okay, Bohuchan Bachesed Kisei, the throne will be established with grace. This is referring to Chizkiyahu. The Yashav Allah Ba'emet, he will sit on it in truth. But Oil David, in the tent of David, in other words, the way that David HaMelech was, Shofet, he will judge, but Dorish Mishpat Amir Tzedek, he's going to do Mishpat, he's going to look for Tzedek. We're talking about a king that's going to be a good king, and Moab, if you do it well, if everything goes well, you will be subjects of this king of Chizkiah, and you're going to see only success, only good things are going to happen if you do this correctly. Shamanu Go Moab, listen to me, okay, we have heard already about the pride of Moab. Gay Moab, they are extremely arrogant. Right, all of their haughtiness and their pride and their anger, all of their stories are all lies. All their stories and everything they say about themselves are all lies. I have no idea what Moab has to brag about, by the way. no clue. Like, what were they known for? Like, what did they have that was so special? Was there, is there land in Jordan that happens to be so nice that, like, everybody says, like, oh, wow, this is great. Not like that natural gas back then, right? What did they have?
I don't think it's Petra.
Oh, but that was way older. They were all dead by then. So what was it exactly that they sat there and they said, oh, this is why? The girls went to Jordan?
You're
the only one who's ever been
there. The whole reason that we're not supposed to marry, like...
Moab and Ammon?
Yeah. Was that, I thought the whole thing was because they sent the Moabite... No, but they sent out the girls to try to seduce...
Oh, the Moab and the Moabite. Yeah. That was years ago. That was 650 years ago. Oh, they're guys?
Yeah.
It's strange. I mean, what does the land look like? Is the land a beautiful land? Or is it just...
It looks the same as Israel.
You mean beautiful and the best land ever. Is that what you mean by that? That's clearly... You went to there.
That's in the south. That's like Edom. Moab is the north.
More to the north. Okay, yeah. Maybe it's a little bit further up, but I can't imagine it's better there. Saudi Arabia is all desert land.
But that's the point.
Maybe there has to be something. Listen, oil. The land of Sodom used to be a place filled with fruits and vegetables and everything. It was an extremely rich and fertile land. Maybe there was something. So, Lachaini Elil Moab, Le Moab, Kulo. Therefore, Moab is going to wail for all the people of Moab. They were so arrogant that they couldn't imagine anyone else crying or for crying for anyone else. We'll cry only for Moab. And that's it. Yelil Lashishi Kir Hareshes. They're going to Yelil, that's how they're going to cry. Lashishi Kir Hareshes. They're going to mourn the foundations of the walls of Hareshes, Teguach Nechayim. Right? And they're going to sit there and they're going to be broken and complete. And that's all they're going to mourn about. They're just going to mourn. They're going to say, oh no, our cities are gone. And that's that. And they're going to say, and we're the only ones who are sad about it. Nobody else cares about it. And they're going to say, that they're going to say, well, but nobody cared about us because you don't care about anyone else. Therefore, no one cared about you. Kishadmos Cheshbon Umlau Geffen. The fields of Cheshbon are going to wither. Umlau Geffen, right? All of the grapevines are going to be smashed. Sivma, right? In the area called Sivma. Bali Goyim Homus Rukel, right? All the people of the nations, right? They will destroy all of the, I guess, the branches. Ad Yazir Nago Ta'u Midbor Shluchusel Nitzu Abuyam. Until Yazir, all the way, they'll stray to the desert. Everything will cross over to the sea itself. So I guess, the land of Moab was known for its... Oh, it had to be green pastures. Because remember, Reuben and Gad saw it, and they said they wanted to stay there because of all their sheep and their goats.
Yeah.
So it must have been, it was green pastures there. It must not be the land that we see today.
So it must be like Tavaria.
Do you know what it's like then?
Yeah.
I guess on the other side of the Kinneret.
Border.
That's right. The area that's right now, Eretz Yisrael.
Maybe
you're right.
But not today. Isn't the other side of the Kinneret part of Eretz Yisrael?
The other side. Now it is. Yeah. On the other side of Syria. But it is there, right? So that makes a lot of sense. Either way, maybe it's like that. Either way, the fields over here could refer to the masses, the vines, the leaders are all going to be crushed and taken captive. Either Al-Kain Evka Bibchi Yazir, therefore I'm going to weep over, you know, Yazir, over the city of Yazir, Geffen Sidma, over the vines of Sidma, our Yavech Dimasi, right, and I guess our Yavech Dimasi, my tears will go down. It sounds like our Yavech is the name of a city, though. Right, Cheshbon El-Olek, Yal-Kitech Vel-Ktirech, Hedad Nafal, right, it says, cheers come upon your summer fruit and the crops harvest. Stuff like that. I guess, again, because Moab was destroyed so quickly, so they were in the midst of, like, a chag over their summer harvest, and all of a sudden they came and destroyed them completely. Vinesa Simcha. All the Simcha will be over, but Gil Mina Carmel, and all rejoicing from the Carmel. They will no longer sing in the vineyards. Lo Yuro Ayayin by Yikavim. They will no longer pour the wine in the different barrels. Lo Yidro Chadoret Heidaj Hashpati. They will no longer have any of that. I'm going to end all of the cheers, everything like that. No one will be there to enjoy all this stuff. Okay, Mea Lemoav. Therefore, right, my stomach goes out for Moav. Kakinor, like a harp, Yemu, they will cry out loud. Vekirbi Lekir Chores, my soul will go out for the walls of Charis. In other words, I'm going to make it sound like I'm wailing as well. I'm going to cry as well. Vayikinira Kinmila Moav. When Moav sees that they're exhausted, Alabama with their bamas, Ubom Bikdash will be Stavalu Yuchol. They're going to go into their temples. They're going to try to pray. They can realize it's not going to work. They're going to be exhausted. They're going to realize the only thing we can do is our God, and that's that. And then this is what God is saying about Moab, and that's what's going to happen. And now, says God, Shloshanim, in 3 years, Kishnei Sakhir, like the years of a hired worker, the Nikla Kvod Moav, this honor of Moav will be shamed, the Chol Amon Harav, throughout all their multitudes, Usham At Mizor Lo Kabir, what remains will be very little and not very strong. And that's going to be it. So now a timeline is given. Teddy Yeshai, I have warned you already. Now you should know, you have 3 years. That's it. There's nothing else left. Take care of these next 3 years, because you're really not going to have anybody else that's there to be able to take care of yourself. Okay, now that takes care of Moab. We're now on to Damascus.
No. Moab gets 3 years. The Jews got like 150 years.
Well, 3 years from then.
Right, from yeah. then. And Yeshiva, the Jewish nation doesn't start until like 150 years later.
Yeah.
100 years later.
Yeah.
Nineveh got 40 days, but they did Teshuvah. So figure, like, if you give somebody a small period of time, if you give somebody 3 years or a period of a long time, like,
that's interesting.
It's plenty of time.
If you look at it from the Jews' perspective, maybe it could have been destroyed at the times of Sennacherib, right? Sennacherib could have done it, but they davened then and they were able to save it for that amount of time.
Hizkiah was like a big tzaddik also.
Yeah, maybe that's the point, that Hizkiah was able to daven to be able to give them 150 years. How many years was it exactly? Because it is funny that Hizkiah added 15 years to his life, right, by davening
his own life, but...
What if it is 150? I don't think it is. I think the years are off by that a little bit.
Well, let's see, Menashe was 55 years. Menashe, his goes under 15, so that's 70 years.
We have to figure out everybody else.
Yoshua was like 23 years or something, so that's 93.
We have so many others.
Yeah. And then, I don't have
to. Ezekiel was 11 years. Yoyachim, like, they all combined.
There were like some guys. There were people in between.
I got in
no,
here.
There weren't so many in between. After Yoshua, Yoyachim, Yoyachim, and Ezekiel.
Those were the last. There, right there. We got...
Menashe.
We got Menashe is 55,
plus
2 of Amon,
plus 15 of
57, 31 of Yoshio. So 57 plus 31 is 88.
Right.
88, and then 3 months, so 89. 89 plus 11 is 90, is 100. 111. 111
plus 15 of
Hizkiah.
Hizkiah.
So it's 126.
Something like that.
Oh, it's close.
Okay, okay.
And 100. Oh, could there be anything better than that? No, I don't think so. All right, let's go. Parakeet Zion. Parakeet Zion about Damascus. I don't really know much about Damascus. Does anybody know? Have you ever been there? You've never been there. Has anybody ever been there? Ever seen it? I've never been to Damascus.
I'm welcome in Mecca.
I don't think anyone is welcome in these places. But Matzah Damasek. In Damascus, Musar Meir. Damascus will be a city that is no longer Vaisamihim Apollo. It will be a mound of ruins. That's what it's going to be over here. So this is going to be Aram. This is Aramia, the Arameans, somewhere around Iraq, Iran, somewhere around that area.
What?
It's going
Damascus
to
is in Syria.
What?
Damascus is in Syria.
Is it Syria?
Yeah, Damascus is the capital.
So it's Aram, Syria? I guess so. So maybe it's over there. The structure of Damascus is going to be so complete that it's no longer going to be a city. Damascus will cease to be a city at some point. Azuvos Are Aroer. All the cities of Aroer will be abandoned. Right? Adorim at Tien. It's only going to be for the flocks. Right? The Rav Tuvei Macharid, they're going to shepherd there, and there's nobody that's going to take back the city. The Nishvas Mitzor Me'Ephraim, at that point, fortified cities will disappear from all of Ephraim, Lamam Lachami Damasek, and the kingdom from Damasek, Ushar Aram Kichvod Bnei Yisrael, and all the other, all of Aram, all the other people of Aram, Kichvod Bnei Yisrael, like the honor of Bnei Yisrael, right? You, that's what it'll be, Nu Meshem Tzvako, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember, Aram and Ephraim got together to go fight against Yehuda, against Ahaz, right? And for that, the same way that Ephraim is going to be destroyed, at the same time Aram is going to be destroyed by Sennacherib as well. On that day, the glory of Yaakov will wither, they'll go down, and all the fatness of his flesh will become lean, right? It's going to be that's what's going to happen to them during Bnei Yisrael. When they reap the grain, Uzroshi Balam, and you know, the grain of the harvest, Yiktzor, right, as the ears are collected in the Emek Rephaim, it will happen little by little, just like the ears, you pick them up one by one by one, it's going to happen little by little when Sennacherib takes over this entire the entire kingdom. There's going to be gleanings left, like little people here and there, like one beats an olive tree, you get two or three seeds, you know, whatever it is, Brosh Amir at the top of the tree, 4 or 5 on the fruit bearing branches, Perea, they have the fruit. The new Hashem Elokei Yisrael. That's what Hashem says. There are going to be some people that remain. Right? There will be some people. People that run to Yehuda, people that run to all these other places. Those are the people that are going to be there. But otherwise, Bnei Yisrael, Yisrael is going to be empty. On that day, man will turn back to his maker. And his eyes will be up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He will no longer turn to the mizbechos that he made with his own hands. Also, it's both of Luyir. That which he made with his fingers, he will not look at Ba'asherim HaChamonim, as well as the Asherah trees, as well as the Chamonim, the sun images that they had. Chamonim is in Chama, right? The Chamonim that they had made. Now they're going to turn their minds toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu what he wants. On that day, the cities of his fort, the fortified cities, Kazuv Zachoresh, they're going to be like abandoned woods. Everything is going to be desolate and everything is going to be gone. And even in Yehuda, that's going to happen. Even Yehuda is going to lose many, many cities of people that are filled. Only Yerushalayim is really going to remain. Because you have forgotten God. And the rock of your salvation was the heart. And therefore, your saplings are going to be what once was. They're going to be namanin. They're going to be gone. And the branches, a stranger will go ahead and plant it. Right on the day that you're planting, right, you flourished. Right, so it's going to be in the morning your seeds blossom, but the harvest is going to wither on that day of your illness and unbearable pain. That's what it's referring to Bnei Yisrael. Woe to the multitude of the nations, Rabin. Kamos yamin, like all the oceans roaring. They're going to roar. They're going to be carried away like the great waves of the sea. And that is why throughout the Gemaras, whenever you see a wave coming by, a massive wave, it always refers to Golos. That's what it refers to. So in the Rava Bar Barchana Gemaras, when Rava Bar Barchana says, I saw a wave whose, you know, the peak of the wave reached all the way up to Shemayim, and there was a white fringe on top, etc. That's a reference to the Jews in Golos. And so whenever you see Rava Bar Barchana says, I was on a ship that was at sea, that was the small little Jewish, you know, group that was able to survive when they were at sea. And that's a reference to what they're saying over here. It's going to be like the seas that are going to come by and take Umim Kizomanim Rabin. Yishon, it's going to Yishon, they're going to be destroyed that way, like the clamor of many waters. But Gorbo, right? God rebukes them, and Nasmi Merachok, it's going to run from far away. The Rudap Kemotarim, it's going to be chased out like mountain shafts, like they rock in front of the wind, Baruka Galgal with Nesufa, and like tumbleweed in front of a storm. Lays Arab toward the evening of Allah. There will be absolute terror. The term Boker Inenu, Zeth Helik Shosin Begor Levoz Zenu. Right before the morning, it's going to be all. That is what happens to those who plunder us and those who try to take away from everything. And that's the Bnei Yisrael who plundered the Bnei Yehuda. So that's a reference to them as well. So it's really, I wrote Demesek for this chapter, but it's really, and Bnei Yisrael as well. The Bnei Yisrael are going to be punished with them, meaning Ephraim and everything that was together with them. That's what's going to happen to them. Now we're going back to Mashiach. Okay? We're going back to Hoy, Eretz Tzotzal Kinafayim Asher Me'ever L'Narei Kush. Okay, so woe to the land that is shaded by wings. Okay, that is beyond the rivers of the Kush, the rivers of Ethiopia. Now, what this refers to is the area of Nubia, which is Sudan and Ethiopia on the other side of the Red Sea. Is that what it is?
No.
We're no.
Where it is Nubia. The Nubians, they used to Petra, where all those...
Is that what it refers to?
Iron is there. Iron's very close, not far from Ramos.
I was in Lodz.
We're almost there. No, there's the mountain of the Nubians.
No, I don't know. I absolutely don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's 100% right. It says we're in fleets. You know, there's funny, because there are Nubian goats. The Nubian goats from there, I always thought the Nubian goats were African. I think they were black. Not being offensive to anybody, but not being
Ari Kush is. Kush is.
That's for sure. Yeah, that's for sure in Africa.
No, is. No, here at Kohanim, I'm assuming it's probably near.
I don't know if that's Nubia.
I mean, it might be near.
The, I don't know. We'd have to know. I don't know. I absolutely don't know. But the crazy thing about this is there are wings that are going to come from that area right over there. Now, it's possible that that's referring to an airplane. Okay? And he does mention it down over here that it's possible it's fleets of airplanes. Okay? Now, what they're going to do is like this. Hashalech by Yom Tzirim. They're going to send it over, right, by messengers by sea, b'chlei goma, and in papyrus, the papyrus things in the water, right? Al-Pnei Mayim, they throw it in the water, l'chu malachim kalim, nation. Go forth, quick messengers, El Goyim Mushach, to a nation that has been dragged, Umarat, and plucked. El Am Deira, to an awesome nation, Minhu Vahala, since they have began. Goy Kav Kov, a nation that has been abhorred and trampled, Umavusa, knocked down, Asher Bazu Nahar Marto, whose land has been looted by kings one after the other after the other. Now what happens is like this. The people of these lands in Africa from far away are going to ask the Kasha. They're going to send messengers. They're going to have little people there, like their little, whatever, reporters from all over. Is it true? Is it true what we just heard? They're going to send these messengers. Kol Yoshei Fevel, all the people of the land, Shokanar, those who live on the earth, Kinso Neis Harim, you're going to see a banner hanging down from the mountains. Tiru, you'll see it. Ukitko Shofar Tishmo. And when the shofar blows, then you're going to hear it. That's what's going to happen. And this is a reference again to Mashiach coming and going around. There will be miracles like you'll never believe. And that's what it means by the banners that are coming down from the mountains. There's going to be Nisim like you can never imagine that are going to happen in the times of Mashiach. Kikoram Hashem, Eli, this is what Hashem has told me. Eshkita, I will make peace. Da'bita bimkoni, and I will turn to my place, my humble abode. Kechom tzach alei or, as the warmth comes after the rain, alei or after the rain, ka'av tal bechom katsir, as a cloud of dew in the harvest heat. That there's going to be heat, there's going to be warmth, there's going to be something that happens that's going to be very, very whatever. And at that point, there's going to be a lot of cold, rain, and whatever it is that will wash everything away and make it cooler and more inhabitable. Who knows if that's referring to, again, some type of a nuclear war that will lead to HaKadosh Baruch Hu making peace after that. That there's something that comes after that. Kilevnei Katsir, before the harvest, Kisam Parak, right, when the buds are maturing, Uboser Gomel, and all the blossoms have started to grow, Yanitza, that's when the grapes start growing. The karet hazalzalin, well, that's when you cut down the twigs, the masmeros, with your pruning shears. There's an atishos, and all of the larger vines, hasteritas, you chop them off because they're not worth having them. Certain people will die, and the people that have to be there are only the little buds that are just ready to go.
So we don't know what year Mashiach's coming.
We have no clue.
But we know what time of the year he's going to come.
Around spring, you're saying.
Yeah.
It's very well true. I mean, it could very well be true.
You can come anytime.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, we do say that the Geula, the future Geula, is supposed to be on Pesach. Right? That's how we pass in this and reveal as Rabbi Yeshua and that time.
It's hinting or it's saying.
Yeah, right around that time. Yeah, but of course, yeah, let Mashiach come and then we'll say, like, oh, what the heck? I guess that was awesome.
I'm saying, doesn't that go against, the Animans that, you can basically believe Easter's supposed to be coming,
on any day that he comes. So it doesn't matter. In other words, let him come and then we'll deal with it.
Which one's the problem? Friday or Shabbos?
Friday and Shabbos. Friday because of the busyness and Shabbos because of Tchumen. Right? But again, in all these things, let him come and let's deal with it afterward. That's the Yom Tov, Erev Yom Tov as well. Right? That's what they say.
It's self though, also, right?
What's the thing with Shabbos? Tchumen is a problem. They will be left for the vultures, harim of the mountains, will have hamas arts and all the animals of the land. They cut all the ayats, but the vultures will become disgusted by them. The whole hamas arts will love to corrupt, and all the animals of the land will just be disgusted by it. Everything is going to be completely, they're just disgusted by the sight of what's going on. But he said, Yuval Shai LaHashem. At that time, a gift will be given over to Hashem Tzvaos. Am Mimushach, a nation that has been dragged, umorat, and plucked. Ome Am No Ram Minhu, and a person that is awesome since inception. Goi Kav Kav, a nation that is hoped, the moose and trampled, that's your balls in a harm that has been plundered by the kings. Artso, they'll come back to their land, on Makom Shem Hashem Tzvaos Hartzion, to the land of Hashem Tzvaos, to the mountain of Zion, and that's that. That's the idea behind it. All those people we brought back. So those messages, is it true? Is it really happening? Whatever. Yes, it is happening. All the people are going to be brought back. And that's, again, another little nevuah that's said over about Mashiach, thrown in when talking about all the other nations. Now let's go to Mitzrayim now. Perikyotes. Mas Mitzrayim, Yidin Hashem Rokev al Ov Kal. God is going to ride on a thick cloud. Uvam Mitzrayim is going to come. Ov is a thick cloud. Kal is quick.
Yeah.
Thick. cloud. Well, Bar Mitzrayim is going to come to Mitzrayim, and no Elile Mitzrayim. All the gods of Mitzrayim are going to tremble me put up from in front of God. Ulevav Mitzrayim, Yimas Mikrabo. And the Egyptians' hearts are going to melt within them. It's an interesting little thing over here. The Egyptians were well known for their huge cows, their steer, and also their pigs. The steer were used in wars. These were the ancient elephants that they used to use in war, because the cows were extremely huge and very, very powerful, and they would go straight there. The Egyptians... What? No, they didn't. These were the ancient elephants of old, because nobody used elephants in war just yet. They used these massive cows as their elephants, right? When later on people started using elephants, that's what they did. The fear of the Makos is going to come upon them, and they're going to remember what happened to them years and years and years ago with the Makos. They're going to remember it again. I will make strife among the Egyptians themselves. They're going to start a civil war. Each man against a friend, ear to ear, city to city, kingdom to kingdom. All of them are going to be drained of all their spirits. All of their wisdom I will foil. They're going to instead go to their idols, as well as their magicians, to the ovals, and you don't need the people that practice their magics. I don't know. They're what's it called? They're mummies. Maybe they call out their mummies and they'll do whatever they have. They're going to start seeking wisdom instead of from the normal places, from their astrology or whatever else they got it from. Instead, they're going to go for stuff, which is all this magic stuff, all the old magics and things like that. They're going to try to do like that. They see Karti as Mitzrayim Yad Adonim. But I will hand them over to the hands of their masters. Kasha, who are very harsh, Melech Az Yim Shobam, and a very strong king will rule over them. Numa Adon Hashem Tzvakos, says that Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Lord of everything. The ocean waters will recede, and that will cause the water, the river, to dry and shrivel off. Now here's the deal. The Nile River will, obviously Hashem can do whatever he wants, but the Nile River cannot wither up. It's too huge of a river. By far the longest and biggest river in the world. I shouldn't say by far, but it is the longest and biggest river in the world. It starts all the way down and goes all the way out. If you look at Mitzrayim on a map, you'll see that when the Nile River does go out to the Red Sea, it is an amazing area where it goes into all these tributaries, huge amounts of little rivers that all go out to sea eventually. And there are parts of Mitzrayim that are extremely fertile, even though it's technically desert land, but it's extremely fertile because of all these different areas that eventually go out to sea. Now here's the shot. What the Egyptians would do in order to feed their land, to wash their land, is when the waters, the ocean, the sea, would get a little bit higher, then the Nile River would be brought back instead of floating out to sea because the waters went a little bit further this way, the river would be pulled back a little bit. When the river is pulled back a little bit, it would overflow its banks. And what the Egyptians did was, wisely so, they made tributaries that when it overflowed, then the waters would go out to all the fields, even the places that were farther away from the Nile River will still be able to get their water. But if the waters of the Mediterranean do not overflow, then the river will go straight out to the Mediterranean and there will be no water to be had in all these extra tributaries. There won't be enough to go around everywhere. That's how you can start a hunger in Mitzrayim. If there's no, let's say the Mediterranean Sea, which is a salt sea and obviously does not melt, if it doesn't get enough water and the water starts drying up around that area, then in the end what's going to happen is that all the water is going to be completely gone.
Build them.
I'm sorry?
Build a dam.
Who? The people themselves. And build up a dam and to be able to dry it, to get the river to go through there.
No.
Maybe they, I think they have the ability to do that? I don't know. I guess so.
That's one
they make pyramids.
I think that's like the Nile River.
Maybe it still won't be enough. But at Dahanzihu, Naharus, all the rivers will be abandoned. Dalu the Karavu. Okay? All of them are going to dry up and be gone. Yore Matsor, all the rivers of that area, Kanavasuf Kamelu, all the reeds and the bulrushes are going to cease to grow. They're all going to be gone. There won't be anything left. And that Nile, which is always their way, that was the idea behind it, it's all going to be gone. Parak Pasuk Zion says, Aros al Yor al Pior, all the things rooted that were planted by the river, right by the Nile River itself, the Chomizra, Yor, Yivash, and all the seeding that's by the river will all dry up. Nidaf, right? It will wither, and it will be no longer. Now all the people will hunt for fish, all the fishermen are all going to cry out loud. They're going to say, oh my gosh, they're going to mourn all the people that throw nets into the river Chika, the nets. They're all going to cry out loud. They're going to say, we have nothing. We have literally nothing. We have no vegetation. We have no fish. All the craftsmen who comb flax and sow it into nets, they're going to lose heart because no one's going to buy nets because there's no fish to be able to catch in them. So the whole economy is going to go bankrupt from this. All the foundations will thus be crushed. All the people will make dikes, the ditches and things like that. They're going to be depressed because they have nothing to do. The whole area is going to be like that. But the princes of Soan will all become foolish. The wise men who advise Paro with Eitzas, Nivara, it will be made bad. How can you tell Paro, I'm the son of wise men, a descendant of kings of old? Where is your wisdom now? And say it out. You should know this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has planned against Egypt, that all their wisdom is gone. This is the famous line, by the way, that the officers of Soan become foolish. Nisu Sarei Noph. The princes of Noph became confused. You know what Noph is?
Noph is a horizon. It's like a view.
It's Memphis. It's the city of Memphis in Egypt. Translated over here, and it is. Memphis is in Egypt. It is a city. I have to look it up.
Yeah, it's a city in Egypt.
I didn't know that, but that's what it refers to. So we're talking about Soan and Memphis. Pinas Shvatel, right? All the Egyptians were deceived by their leaders. Hashem Masach Bekerbal, Hashem gave them within them, or poured within them, Ruach Ivim, a spirit of folly, a spirit of foolishness. These were the time they pulled Mitzrayim, B'chol Ma'aseh, and everything they did, Kito Shikar B'Kiyo. It's literally like a drunkard who falls into his own vomit, which is always a lot of fun, if you all remember that from your old days, right? But that's what it's going to be. Their mamish could be so muddled until they're totally drunk.
It was last week.
Okay, that's good. Lo yeh leMitzrayim maaseh. They won't be able to. Mitzrayim will literally not be able to do a thing. Sheyasa rosh v'zanav, the keep of the agmon. Neither their head or their tail, whether they're palm beach or the reed, or always part of different parts of Mitzrayim. Nobody will be able to make a good decision. On that day, Egypt will be like woman. We all know how bad that is. I mean, I can't even tell you how bad it is to be like woman. And they're only going to be afraid of what Hashem is going to put upon them next. They're going to be sitting there. So again, it's not always bad to be woman. The problem is that their spirits will be emasculated, meaning they're going to sit there and they're going to say, we always have to worry about anything, everything, even the things that people don't normally worry about. That's what they start to worry about. Irrational fear is what they're going to have. The land of Yehuda, right, for Mitzrayim, will be a source of fear. Anybody who has a scheme against them, anybody who has something to mention against them, they're afraid of. All because of what Hashem is doing to Mitzrayim itself.
The spirit of Yehuda because the Empire is coming from that direction, or the spirit of Yehuda themselves?
They sat there and they said, wait a second, Ashur just lost to Yehuda? Assyria was just destroyed by Yehuda? How can that be? That scared them even more. How in the world was a small nation of Yehuda able to defeat all of Ashur? If they were able to defeat Ashur, maybe they're going to defeat us as well. They're scared of everything. On that day, there will be five cities in the land of Mitzrayim who are going to speak the Canaanite language. And they're going to swear to God. One will be called the destroyed city. You know what's going to happen at that point? Chizkiah is going to free all Sennacherib's captives. Many of them are going to go back to Egypt and they're going to speak about the awesome miracle that had just taken place with Sennacherib. They're going to tell about what the Jews did, and they're going to believe in Hashem, and they're going to tell everybody that they should believe in Hashem, and they're going to spread it, and the five cities of Egypt are going to be filled with these gerim that came from Eretz Yisrael that are telling them we should worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we should do their thing. That's what they're going to do.
The Canaanites, not the
language. What was the language of the Canaanites? There were no Canaanim around.
Right. Why is there not?
The line became, they're speaking the language of those people who were there beforehand. Pesach B'nai Yisrael. And I don't know why specifically it says the word Kenan.
You call it Kenan, even though it was
Rashi says Yisrael Shavaris Kenan.
Yeah, so the question is why?
Yeah.
Why are we calling it that? It is. It's B'nai Yisrael. In other words, speaking the Jewish language. Kasha is why?
Kenan, even though
what does the Malvin say?
We got to read
it. We'll call it Palestine. We call it Kenan.
Some people call it Palestine.
Nobody called that area Palestine. Yeah, that's exactly what the Mari Kerak says. It says right here, by the way, from here we learn, the Ibn Ezra says, that the Canaanim always spoke Lashon HaKodesh. I mean, it is true. Rav Victor Miller said at last week's Parsha that they always spoke the language of Lashon HaKodesh. It's just weird. Why are we calling them Canaan? Ah, here we go. Because Mitzrayim and Canaan were brothers, sons of Ham. And because Eretz Canaan fell to Bnei Yisrael and Nakhla, right? So therefore, Eretz Canaan became like strangers to Mitzrayim. They consider it their brother's land. That's the reason why. Okay, that makes sense. That does make sense a little bit. Yeah.
According to language, most the Hebrew is a dialect of Canaan. Thank
you. We know a little different. We know a little different. Canaanite is a form of Hebraic. Thank you, Wikipedia. Post a good test. Let's go. It says, "Bayom Oyam is back." Hashem b'solchar time. On that day, there's going to be a massive is back in the middle of the time. Something no one expected. Umatseva etzogvul Hashem. There's going to be an atseva, a stein, right by their borders, to a pillar, to their borders, by their borders, to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Again, that's usher, but not for Goyim. Goyim can do whatever they want. It's usher for us to sacrifice on it. Bayom Oyam is back. Hashem b'solchar time. Will be a sign to witness to Hashem. Eretz Yisrael ki tzakol Hashem b'nei lochatim. That they're going to cry out to a Kadosh Baruch Hu because of their oppressors. Yishlam Moshiach b'rabba tibit. And he's going to send them a savior, and he's going to send them a master, and he's going to save them. There's going to be something that's going to take care of them. There's, I guess, there's somebody that's going to come along and take care of them. God will be known to the Egyptians. The other Mitzrayim is Hashem, and Mitzrayim will know God. By Yom on that day, they will bring out a zevach and mincha. They'll give nidarim to Hashem, and they'll pay back. They'll fulfill their oaths. That's interesting, right? When Nagav Hashem is Mitzrayim, they'll go. God will plague the Egyptians, but it'll be a plague and a healing at the same time. The Egyptians will be healed by the plague. In other words, they'll realize that it's done because they did something wrong. They'll do better, and then they get the refuah. The Shofar Hashem, they'll return to God, and God will accept their prayers and heal all of them. They're going to do tshuva. They're going to have Yisurin. As a side note, by the way, they say every makkah of Mitzrayim that hit the Egyptians gave the Jews in Mitzrayim during the Makos a little bit more emunah and got themselves closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They learned that out Hasidic lore. They're not from this pasuk. Nagof Rafu. Every time they were plagued, the Jews were healed. That's where they got it from this pasuk right over here. There will be a path from Egypt to Ashur. The Assyrians will come to Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim to Ashur, brother Mitzrayim is Ashur, and Egypt will be together with Ashur. Now this makes a lot of sense. If the Jews were right in the middle, the Mitzrayim and Ashur never had a trade route, because they'd have to go through Bnei Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael is a tremendous kingdom. But if everybody's peaceable now, Ashur was just killed, Mitzrayim believes in God, well then Mitzrayim, Ashur, and Bnei Yisrael could all get together and they could trade with one another. And that's what it's going to be like. On that day, Bnei Yisrael will be a triad with Mitzrayim al Ashur and to Ashur. Bracha b'karav aretz, it will be a blessing upon the earth.
Mashiach is talking about?
No, Chizkiyah. Asher Baruchu Hashem Tzvakos Lamor. God will bless them on that day, saying, Baruch Ami Mitzrayim, Umatia Da Ashur, Menachlos Yisrael. My people, Egypt, my handiwork, Ashur, right, and my Nakhla is Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael will be an equal to them, and everything will be all good between all of them. Yes.
What is this by Yom HaHubid? Repeating itself over and over. Is it all the same day?
On that day, that all these things come to fruition. To whatever the Nebuah is supposed to be. So that's the end of Mitzrayim, and that's what it's supposed to be. Parakof, oh man. Guys, we went too fast. We did a lot of problems today, but Parakof over here. Just saying that I didn't go past Parakof because I didn't think we'd get here.
Come on.
If I have to delay for an extra 10 minutes, I'm just saying. Mishnas Bo Tartan Ashdoda. In the year that Tartan, right, defeated or attacked Ashdod, Bishloach Oso Sargon, the king of Melech Ashur, the king
king of Assyria, Sargon, sent him. Vayilochem b'Ashdod v'yokidol. He warred against Ashdod and he captured it. At that time, Hashem spoke to Yeshayahu ben Amoz Leimor, saying, Lechu v'tato asak me'almasnecha. Go, take off the sackcloth that is on your loins. V'nalcha tachalot me'alreglecha. Take your shoes from off your feet. Vayaskein, and he did so. Halok arom v'yachay. He walked around as Yeshayahu, naked and barefoot. Now what's shot over here? This is 3 years before Sanherib attacked Jerusalem. His general Tartan went to go take Ashdod, which was the Plishti city. Now that means if they were that close, they were already in the wrong position. They were already by the Plishtim. They had taken over all the Plishtim. That was frightening news for the people of Judah, who knew they were next.
Why did he, was he trying to surround Judah? Because he can't be Yisrael, then he went to Plishtim, he didn't go straight down.
It might be that he went, Yisrael went down the coast, and then was going straight toward the south. Right, that's possible that he was trying to do over there.
So the Crusaders did it.
Is that what they did also?
They went, the path to Jerusalem was always down the coast.
Yes, they went through. That does make a little bit of sense. By the way, but Hashem told Yeshayah not to worry. Yeshayah started putting on sackcloth and making sure that he was walking around telling everybody, wearing his shoes, telling everybody, do tshuva, do tshuva, do tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him right now, don't worry. Don't worry. Sancheriv is going to come in 3 years right now. But no longer do you have to worry about Yerushalayim being ransacked. This is not going to be, you don't need a sign of mourning. You don't need to act penance for Klal Yisrael. I want you to go around, remove your sackcloth, and go and show. Now, this was a double nevuah. The same way the Egyptians and the Nubians and the people of Palestine were taken capture by Assyria and brought into jail or brought to their captivity naked and barefoot, so too Yeshayah was going to walk around naked and barefoot to show the complacent Jews of what would happen, right, if they were put into war. But not only that, don't worry, because you don't have to worry about this. It's not going to happen to you. Now, some say he wasn't totally naked, that he just tore his clothing.
Rashi says,
right, and that's not that, right?
Rashi says he was wearing just worn out and torn clothing, and he just...
Not that. He took off the sackcloth, but he wore still torn clothing. Vayomer Hashem. And Hashem said, Kasher halach avi Yeshayahu arom v'yachev, just like my servant Yeshayah is walking barefoot and naked, shlosh shanim, for 3 years, right? Os u'mofes hamatayim al-kush, that is an os and a mofes, what's going to be with Egypt, what's going to be with Ethiopia. Kini ha-melech ha-shor shvi mitrayim, the king of Assyria is going to lead the captives of Mitzrayim as Golos Kush and all the exiles of Kush. And the arom is getting young and old, arom v'yachev, naked and barefoot, v'chasuvi sheis, ervas mitrayim, with the Egyptians showing their ervas in all of their private parts, exposed and showing them to all. Okay? Maybe that was Midik Nagamida. Mitzrayim was well known for their lewdness and their arias. So now they're being shown with their ervas. They're going to be shown naked. The Chatuv Avoshu Mikush. Right? You're going to be shamed. You're going to be so scared. Those whom Mikush Mabatam, who always look to Kush for their help. The Atanzi Partam, who always thought their splendor would come from Mitzrayim. Farmi Yosheva Iyazeh, those who live on this island, this little area that was not captured by Sancheriv, because literally that's what Bnei Yisrael were at the time. The people that were in the middle of Yerushalayim were in an island of a sea of Ashur. That's what they felt like at that time. This is what we looked for. Asher Nasnu Sham Lazra, we ran there for help, to run away or to be safe from the king of Assyria. How are we going to escape? What are we going to do now? What are we going to be able to do? Okay, now we're going to Perikop Aleph, and of course I did not get to this, so let's go. Masa Midbar Yam Kisufos Manegev. So there's a prophecy on the west of the desert, right? Kisufos Manegev, as storms in the south, Lachlof, as they come through me, Midbar Bom Eretz Noroh, they come from the desert, from a fearsome place. Okay, so desert storms passing through. Now, what's the west of the desert? What's west of the desert?
Sinai.
Where is that?
Where's Sinai?
Let's see what he says right here. Yeshayah is talking about Babel, right? And although we already talked about Babel a little bit, again, he's talking about Babel, and he's going through because they were notorious in their cruelty. Babel sits between two rivers, the Euphrates and the Tigris River. To the east is a great desert. Where is that? Afghanistan. To the east of there, Iran and Afghanistan.
Yeah, so right around that area. Beyond that great desert lived the Medes and Persians, who overthrew Babel like a storm. Thus, the prophecy is on the west of the desert, referring to Babel once again.
So
what was going to happen when they got taken over?
Babel?
Yes, correct. Okay, the desert storms are going to be the Medians and the Persians that are going to bring with them many soldiers. That's going to be the desert storm. Okay, Babel
desert
will be
storm.
Utterly destroyed.
That's probably where the Gulf War name came from.
Desert storm. That's good. Was it 93, 91? My gosh. It is not even going to be named by name. Babel is not even named over here. It's literally going to be erased by desert storms and buried underneath the sand dunes.
It's not the Persians or Medes, it's the Americans.
No. Chazuz Kasha Hugadli, a very harsh vision has been shown to me. Habogade Bogade, the betrayer will be betrayed. The Shodade Shodade, the stacker will be stacked. Ali Elam, get up, Elam. Suri Madai, lay siege at Madai. Kol Chasi Ishvati, I have silenced, I have quieted down all of her groans. Babel betrayed their allied nations by sacking them and then breaking their pact. Now Mede and Persia, who used to have a treaty together with Babel, are going to do the very own thing to them. They're going to go against Babel, and they're going to take over Babel and do everything they can on that day. Okay? The night that Babel will be overtaken, the moaning, right, will be silenced. No one will moan for them. And not only that, but they themselves will not know. They'll be in their sleep and die in their sleep.
Well, that's what happened. It was one night, right?
Yep. It all happened when Belshazzar was killed. Okay, Malu Mosnai Kalkola, therefore my ears are filled with tremors. Siri Makazuni, I'm seized with spasms. Kisirio Leda, like a birthing mother. Now, Vesi Mishmoa, I become ill from hearing it, and I am alarmed from seeing it in my vision. When a prophet has an actual vision, he really feels it. He goes through it as if he's mamish there and living through it at the time. So he's not saying it as if he's just seeing it and he's watching it on a video. He's literally seeing it happen in front of his eyes and he's shocked by it. That's what he's trying to say over here. He's sick from hearing what Belshazzar was saying and how Belshazzar was using the different stuff, the stuff, the base of Mikdash itself. He heard about all the handwriting on the wall and what was happening with it. He was sickened by what Belshazzar was actually doing. Tall Lavavi Palatsus, my heart is confused. Palatsus Biasuni, and terror has gripped me. As Nashak Chishki Samli Lacharada, my night of pleasure, the good things, has turned into horror. Now, Belshazzar was just that. Belshazzar was having a party that night, celebrating the fact that he didn't think the 7 years of Babel were ever going to be up. And that night, where they were having a party and having everything go through, that's the night when this sacking happened. Baruch HaShulchan, the table was set. Supple at Safis. The scouts were alert. While they're eating and drinking, rise up, generals, quickly, oil your shields. Get everything ready. While they were in the middle of the feasting and everything like that, the enemy came from the outside, and they immediately had to start going out to go around. And we all know what happened, right? Belshazzar said to behead anyone who was roaming around outside. Belshazzar had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, right? He had become ill because he had eaten too much. He had acute diarrhea. He went outside to go to the bathroom, tried to get back in, and the guards killed him. That ended up happening. So Belshazzar wasn't even killed by the enemies. Belshazzar was killed by his own guards. He called our Eli, Adonai. This is what Hashem has told me. Put a scout up on that area, Shayir Yagid, should tell over what he sees. What he's going to see is a chariot that's ridden by a pair of riders. Rechav Kamor, a chariot of a donkey is Rechav Gamol, and a chariot by camels. And then you will hear a tremendous noise. This is what they're going to do. There's going to be two riders that are going to come into the city itself. But they're going to see many chariots coming through by camels and by donkeys. Camels and donkeys refers to Persia and Median people. Yeshaya is seeing this through the eyes of the lookout, watching it all happen in front of him.
He's going to call out like a lion from his lookout. Adonai, Anochi Omi Tamid, Hashem, I am standing continuously, Yom HaMad my day, V'amishmarti Anochi Nisav Kol HaLelos, and I'm standing here all night as well. Hine Zeb Bo Rekab Ish, behold, a chariot is coming with men, seven Parashim, right? With a pair of riders. Vayan V'yomer, and he says out loud, Nafla, Nafla, Bubble, Bubble is gone, Bubble is gone, V'chol Psi Eloash, Shibel Oretz, all the gods, all the idols, right? They're all falling down and being broken. Yeshaya is calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu right in the middle, literally in the middle of his vision. He's seeing the lion right from the lookout's eyes, and then Yeshaya calls out, Hashem, I'm standing here and I'm watching it. It's crazy, as if Yeshaya is saying it while the guard is saying out loud, Bubble is gone, Bubble is going to be thrown down. Now again, from the eyes of Yeshaya speaking right then, it was impossible to think that Bubble, that powerful nation, is going to go down, and he's the one who's able to see it. My threshing, everything that I had in my threshing floor, I told you what I heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what I have. I have seen the threshing. I have seen exactly what Hashem is trying to do to you, and he's trying to get rid of the chaff and allow the seeds to be able to go. I think we're going to stop with just that. Okay, so we're going to go with that, and that's the end of Babel. So Imam sees it from the eyes of the people in Babel. So the vision of its fallen. Okay, we'll stop with that, guys.
Thank you for your time.